What is up, Combo Nation? We are here for yet another episode of Combo's Court. This one is called Behind the Court, an inside look at Combo's Court. Maria Myrain, who formerly worked with BET and ESPN, joins in to interview yours truly. We talk about my journey. We talk NBA playoffs. We talk women's basketball and more. Just a fantastic conversation with Maria. She'll let you know where you can find her on social media at the end of this episode. And this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. For a first deposit match up to $100, use code COMBO. That's right, use code COMBO for a first deposit match up to $100. Let's get into it.
Because this is technically Combo's Court.
Maria, welcome to Maria's Court.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to joining you on this podcast.
Of course.
To talk yourself, life, hustle, and of course, basketball. So,
yeah, I'm glad to have you here.
Definitely. I'm going to be taking over the first half, y'all.
Oh, wow. Driving the conversation.
So,
I love it.
I really just want to get to know you, get to know your grind, your hustle, and your love and appreciation for basketball and where that all really started. Can you recall when exactly you fell in love with basketball?
Yeah, I was 7 years old growing up in Riverdale, New York. And as you know, in New York, even though you're wearing a Celtics hat, you could always walk to a basketball court. So growing up in the Bronx in Riverdale, there was always a court nearby. And my days were spent, you know, just playing basketball all day. And that started at seven when I could hardly reach the basket. And it never stopped till then. My mom always talks about how once I picked up a basketball, I never put it down. And, you know, it's pretty much been my whole life. So all the way through like college, playing overseas. I still play to this day, even though it's not at a professional level, but it's pretty much been my whole life.
As a fan, what would you say your aha moment was, like just watching, flipping through the channels, like you just caught a game and you're like, do you remember that exact moment and who the team was, who was playing?
It was Isaiah Thomas on Sesame Street.
You really remember that? Wow, that had to be like the 90s when Sesame Street was out, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're aging me right now, but yeah.
What? Same here. So what exactly
obviously I like Sesame Street and I seen Isaiah Thomas dribbling the basketball and
like,
I thought it was so cool. And then growing up through the years, like I really got into watching Pistol Pete, who was a little bit before my time, watching all his stuff. And I always, you know, you bring up the word fan, but I really like, I loved all those guys, but I kind of like, I was my own biggest fan. And a lot of that was because my mom always told me I was the best.
And, okay, and you know, mama's boy.
And mamas are never wrong, you know? Hi, mom.
How would you describe your type of play, your game? Especially just like when you first started out compared to now and like your evolution as a player.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think when I first started out, I was more of a shooter. You know, and then as I got older, I got more athletic, I got bigger, I became more of an all-around player. And I played so many different positions, which actually wasn't as cool back then, like being a bigger guard and all that kind of stuff. But now, like everything kind of trends towards the way I played, which was like a positionless basketball player, like play a lot of different positions, very versatile, like to pass the ball, like to score the ball, was an above average athlete. So my game there was definitely an evolution to my game from when I was young till older, where I started getting bigger and more athletic and relying a little bit less on the jump shot.
Gotcha. So I assume that you played in the city high school through the high school?
Yeah. So I went to DeWitt Clinton in the Bronx, but I also went to numerous prep schools. You know, I took that route. And yeah, growing up in New York City was more about even the summers than the school year, right? As you know, like you're familiar with Dykeman and Rucker and all that stuff. So a lot of my summers were spent in tournaments like that from high school all the way up to like when I got older and playing professionally.
Did you go through like the AAU circuit at all?
Yeah. I played for Riverside Church for a little bit. I also played for a team called LPAC, which I don't know if they're around anymore, but we were really good. We hardly lost, but I don't know, like that team got lost in translation. It's actually in the Bronx where you live now. So
South Bronx?
170th.
Okay, so a little further up.
Yeah,
okay.
And Jerome, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But those were great times. And yeah, so I played AAU with those two teams growing up, and it was a lot of fun. And as you know, AAU is still big to this day. So yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, all the podcasts are always talking about AAU. Your child does not need to go through AAU to be a great player. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think it has to exclusively be through AAU, but I think AAU is a good channel just to play basketball, because I believe players get better when they play basketball. I also think there's too heavy of an emphasis on skill development these days, even though I'm a huge skill development guy. Like, anybody that knows me knows I'm a gym rat. I'm always in the gym working on my game. But I feel like, yeah, you see the stories, but I feel like there's almost an overemphasis on the drills these days. So I love the idea of kids just going out there and playing. I also think, like, playing unorganized basketball is good for kids as well, and AAU is more organized. So I feel like that.
Just go into the playground.
Just go to the. Yeah, I feel like the best players just don't go out and hoop anymore. Like, they have to be in AAU or they have to be in an organized situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting because when I was growing up, I fell in love with basketball. Maybe I was like in fifth grade, and in middle school, I tried out for the team. I actually made the team. I think it's more so because of my height. I really didn't know what I was doing yet at that time. I was just like, I just know.
What position were you playing?
So in middle school, since I was one of the taller kids, I was like a forward.
Okay.
But as I started like perfecting my shot in height, once I got to high school, I was a shooting guard, and then somehow coach was like, we'll put you on the point because then I'll throw people off because you're tall. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, forward thinking.
So I played the one and two, but I really enjoyed just shooting. And like, even though now I'm much older, well, not much older, damn, let me not age myself. Now that I'm older, I just really go into the gym and just shoot and perfecting my shot.
Yeah.
My handle's a little rusty, but it's all good. I could beat people in a game of horse.
Okay. Horse is your thing. I see you on the stories. Chelsea Pierce, I see you always in there.
Yes.
Not to tell everybody where you are all the time, but
I know, just
but you post it on your stories anyway. Everybody knows where that gym is.
All right, so I'm just really curious to know, you know, you're at this point in your life, and just kind of like, what inspired you, motivated you to start this podcast?
So I was in my last years overseas, and I just wanted to start doing more play-by-play, but I felt like the easiest route to start talking about basketball was a podcast. I started listening to podcasts, and it was something that you could do on your own. So that was a big motivating factor. But I just fell in love with having conversations with interesting people. I've talked to all kinds of people and learned a lot through the podcast. And I think that's really my motivating factor, just talking to people I want to talk to and having conversations I want to have, especially about basketball. And it's grown to so many different things that I do now with all different kinds of shows outside of Combo's Court.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on here, especially as a female, because I feel like not you necessarily, but men are like, oh, you know, women don't really know basketball or this and that.
That's
it's
not
like
true.
There's, I think, especially at a time now where women's basketball, I feel like it's like, not what I want to call it, its peak, but it's definitely trending upwards.
100%.
And I think it's definitely about time.
Yeah. Did you see? I mean, you were at the WNBA
draft.
Man, I wasn't there, but from the stories, it looked like the energy was up.
Yeah. Like, I just like, I you know,
it looked like a movie. Like, it literally looked like a movie.
I was there last year, and just seeing like the transformation of like the setup and how everything was, you know, put together last year,
right?
It's just like on a whole nother
level. It felt like an opera or a performance. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Like, it was a concert.
Yeah.
Like,
what venue was that? And the venue was crazy.
Damn.
See, Brooklyn. I like the idea of that more than like a bigger arena.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think last year it was just like a random like event.
They should do that for the NBA, honestly, like a smaller venue, even though they wouldn't make as much money. That's
right.
The thing. But I think that'd be awesome. Like a venue like that, because it's so intimate. It's better for the visuals, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of the WNBA draft, just like looking back at, you know, because this draft class obviously is coming from the NCAA tournament with just like all the noise coming from Caitlin Clark, LSU, Iowa, even SC, just kind of like the evolution of women's basketball. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on women's basketball, to be honest, but it is crazy now that the names in women's basketball are bigger than the names in men's college basketball,
yes.
Right? So women's basketball is definitely having a moment, and I think it'll be more of a moment moving forward, bigger than a moment, and I just think it's going to continue to grow. And I hope the WNBA can get the same energy that college basketball had this year, because
yes.
I think that's the next thing. The WNBA is really trying to market itself, but it hasn't gotten to the point where it had the buzz that college basketball had this year, and I hope to see that.
Yeah, so Kathy was actually speaking at the draft, and she was just like, they're looking to expand to at least 16 teams, and I think that's great because that opens up a lot of roster spots for women coming out of college. And I think just like, you're right, you know, the dollars aren't really coming in from WNBA. Everyone's like, oh, no one watches WNBA, the women's women's basketball or whatever. And it's just like, if you actually show up to the games to support the women, they will also not only get paid more, but it will just become a bigger thing.
100%.
And it was like, oh, look at how much Caitlin Clark's getting paid compared to what Wemby was getting paid in his, you know, rookie season.
Right.
But it's just like, it's not their fault. We have to show up for them and 100%. Support them.
And Caitlin will be supported very well outside of the court, right? With advertisements. So I don't think there's going to be no worries for Caitlin. She's going to be okay. And and I love that for her and what she's brought to the game. Not only her, but Angel Reese and Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins. And women's basketball is in such a great place. I love it. I love to see it. And the game is just evolving, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these players are getting so much better so quick. I would say the evolution of women's basketball, I believe every generation gets better on both sides, mm-hmm. right? Men's and women's. But I'd say the evolution of women's basketball is even going faster than the men's side because they're just getting so much better so fast.
I think in my recap, I was just like, oh, it's about damn time. Just like, not only that, it's just like people actually noticing it and watching.
Right,
so
right.
I have to big up social media for that because it kind of just puts a spotlight on.
Yeah, social media is just what the people want to make it, right? It's everybody contributing to it. So what the people think is going to show up in social media, what the people are feeling. So, yeah, I love it.
And it's also influenced what, like the NIL deals? Just because
NIL
of the
deals,
I call it NIL. But just like that, you know, just the clout that a lot of players are getting. It's just like women, college players are making more money through the deals than what a lot of WWE players are even making in like a year in their contract.
Yeah. NIL's big. I mean, you know, there's pros and cons to NIL. I love to see players getting paid, but then on the other hand, at least on the men's side, that players aren't staying in one spot as long and they're just trying to move around and get more money. But I think the pros outweigh the cons because those players should be getting paid because those are the players. They're the reason why there's butts in the seats, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think you brought up Paige a couple points ago. And as you know, she was part of this draft class, but she was injured last year. So she's going to stay, her fifth year?
Yeah, I think so. Even though I saw her dancing at the WNBA party.
I didn't even realize I was sitting behind her.
Draft.
I was like,
I keep saying party because it felt like a party and not a draft.
I looked at her story. I was like, oh, look, I see my head in the back.
Yeah.
But no, I love Paige. And like I said, I was saying I'm a UConn fan. And I'm just really curious to see what she does next year because I feel like she missed out a little bit this year. And like a lot of the attention kind of shifted over to Caitlin and everyone, and like, you know, when I'm looking through Twitter, the Twitter feeds, I was like, oh, everybody forgot about Paige. Like people forget that Paige is a high caliber player as well. And I feel just like the spotlight was put on Caitlin this season, so I feel like she could have a really great season next year.
Yeah, the spotlight is going to continue to be on Caitlin, and I think that helps all of women's basketball. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's moving on from college basketball, so I believe Paige will probably get a lot of the attention this year. I'm a little surprised she didn't go to the WNBA, but you mentioned NIL, and I feel like that's part of the reason she stayed as well. I'm sure she signed some lucrative deals, right, when it comes to NIL.
That makes sense. All right. So I know we're talking about college basketball. I'm curious to know, best men's and women's college basketball team ever to date.
Oh, man. To ever?
Some people are going to say Duke.
Yeah, Duke. I mean, Christian Laettner, Grand Hill. I think UNLV had an underrated team because they never won a championship with Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, and all those guys. The Fab Five was incredible, right? With those five. So those are some of the ones that come to mind. Then you went to St. John's, Chris Mullin, Mark Jackson. Those were great teams as well. Some of the Georgetown teams with, Patrick Ewing, Allen Iverson a little bit later. But my favorite college basketball player, and I said this, I kind of talked about him earlier, was Pistol Pete. The guy averaged 44 points a game without a three-point line. Yeah. Well, he played in the NBA too for many years.
Yeah. But
he averaged 44, but no 3-point line. But his team was terrible. But and he played for his dad. But yeah, I mean, there were so many great college teams, and I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Like, as dominant as UConn was, I don't think you could compare this UConn team to like previous great teams, right? Because of the state of college basketball.
Men and women.
Men.
Yeah. Because I was there and I still have the Sports Illustrated cover with Khalid El-Amin when we won that first championship.
Oh, yeah. That was different. Like, that's when college basketball was really popular.
Right. And people are comparing, like, you know, this UConn men's team to them. I was like, I don't think you can compare the two.
The level of college basketball is just higher back then.
Definitely.
Because all the one and dones, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And as for the women's side, just UConn, Geno, is just, that's That's a whole legacy right there. Gino's actually from my hometown.
Okay. Where are you from?
Manchester, Connecticut.
That's why you like the Celtics.
Hartford area, yes. I moved to New York for college in 2006. I went
and
to
you
St.
just
John's,
stayed here.
And I just stayed here. I was like, I love the city. I hate y'all teams, though.
I know. You say you're a lot, and then you wear a Celtics hat. It's crazy.
I didn't know there were rules to this. No, I'm just kidding.
I see you wearing that Celtics hat. Just looking at the East, who do you think is the biggest threat to your Celtics?
All right.
So, there's no threats. That's what you're going to say.
I was going to say that. But, like, for me, I was just actually looking at the bracket and just, like, we're at 64 wins. And, like, a lot of people – there's a lot of teams that just haven't even, like, broke, like, 50.
Right.
When you're looking
dominant
at it,
regular season.
Right. But then you also take a look at the Knicks who, you know, kind of worked their way up into the second seed. And I'm really interested to see if that matchup happens in the East. But you have the Knicks. You have
The Heat, but they're not the even Heat, in yet as of this recording.
Yes, yes, yes. I think they're
in. Cavs have been good all season. Indiana's a good offense.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, you're right, though. I mean, the Bucks, but they have been.
But I think I just heard Giannis got injured just recently.
Yeah, I think he might be out of game
one. He's going to be out for the first round, I think.
The whole round?
The whole first round, I believe, depending just on his progress.
Yeah, they're playing against the Pacers. I think they still have a chance to win, but just Dame has to be Blazers Dame, right?
Right.
Dame time. So we'll see what happens there, yeah.
But as for the Celtics, I feel like the last two seasons, we were just really close. And I think the addition of, like I was saying, KP.
100%.
And Holiday have been really pivotal for this team. And I think also our bench. I think our bench got deeper and better, at least with, like, Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser.
Yes.
They're logging in minutes, especially, you know, these last few games that just happened since we pretty much just secured the number one seed. But just like seeing our growth from season over season and knowing we have to get over that hump. I also know Tatum kind of like has a chip on his shoulder. So does Jaylen Brown. And Tatum, of course, is in the MVP talks. I think he rounded out like the top five the last time I checked.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I have about Tatum, like, hit Tatum. I love Tatum, but it's his consistency for me sometimes. I don't know if you agree with me. Sometimes he have a really stellar game and then sometimes he just doesn't 100%. Show up or he's not clutch. And I'm just like, I feel like he puts a lot of pressure on himself. And I feel like he feels it's on him to really take the team to that next level, which is the championship.
Yeah. You know, sometimes with Tatum, he doesn't take what the defense gives him and he tons tough shots.
Right.
And I talked about earlier, like, the whole skill development thing, like there's an over-reliance on that. And I think that's all the way up from the high school level to even top NBA players like Tatum. It looks like at times he's doing drills on a basketball court and not really reading the game. But, I mean, obviously he's a phenomenal player. The thing about the Celtics is that they have, over everyone else, they have three players that are superstars in their role when it comes to Jrue Holiday, Porzingis, Derek White. I mean – you see the Nuggets, they have one in, like, Aaron Gordon, right? Like, a superstar in his role. The Warriors had Wiggins, who wasn't playing like a superstar in his role this year. But I think that's what the Celtics have over everybody else.
Yeah, especially this season. You're right. And I think I want to big up Coach Mazzulla.
Yeah.
I feel like when he his first two seasons, everyone was just so much hate towards Joe. Like, oh, he doesn't know what
he's doing. You know how the Celtics and Knicks fans are, both of them. Yeah. They're going to go at you.
They're so harsh.
Yeah, yeah.
But even I'll agree to some of the points. They're like, oh, he doesn't know when to call timeouts. I agree with that sometimes. But, like, when you hear him talk about it, he's like, oh, I just trust my players enough to let them know, like, you know, the right calls to make.
Yeah,
and that's
cool.
But it's just like, yo, sometimes just call a timeout, bro, and draw up a play. Like, Jason and JB just can't be out there chucking up shots.
Yeah. My thing, like, you mentioned Jason and JB. I don't know how you feel about this. Do you feel like JB doesn't get enough credit and maybe Jason gets a little too much credit, or you don't feel that way?
I feel that way.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have a love-hate relationship with JB too because, like, you know, he got –
He had some troubles in the playoffs last year.
He does. It's like, yo,
but I think he was more hurt than he let on, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. I think they were saying something with his left.
Yeah, left hand. Yeah.
Speaking of the left. Yeah. That man.
And then he tried to show people up in the dunk contest.
Oh, Lord. I was like, he's more so of an in-game dunker. I'll give him that.
Right.
But I was like, he tried.
Right.
I think he was trying. Who did he try to dunk over? Like the shortest man ever that
Yeah. I was actually in the building for that. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, I love my Celtics, but the thing that really grabs my gear is other Celtics fans, because they're just so harsh. And I know it comes from a place of like passion, but it's just like, oh, as soon as we lose a game, oh, trade this player, fire Joe Mazzulla. And then the next game we win. It's just like, oh, praise.
Yeah. I mean, if the Celtics don't win a championship, no matter what round it is, or even in the finals, you're going to be hearing all those talks all over again, right?
Yeah, because back to back last 2 years, we just so close.
And Jason got to get paid because JB just got paid. Crazy. Yeah, definitely.
And I think they're talking about Derek White kind of giving him an extension. I think that's, you know, well deserved for him. 100%. He had a really stellar season.
I wonder if they'll be even able to pay him. They could pay everybody, huh?
I'm pretty sure the Celtics are.
Because if you got to pay Tatum, I don't know. I didn't like look at their
and
books lately.
I think
lately.
They gave Drew an extension.
Exactly.
Well.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how much money? Where's this money coming from? We need some of that, Maria.
You see all them logos on the jerseys now? Yo, I really hate seeing the logos on jerseys, but I understand.
I think it's cool because I come from playing overseas and that's what it was.
What they're doing overseas?
Yeah, okay. That's where they got it from.
Gotcha.
I think it's dope. Except like I think the Hawks got the YMCA logo. That's like kind of funny though. Like to have a YMCA logo on a NBA jersey is interesting. But I like it. I think it's cool. They might get bigger from here. Who knows? Those logos.
So we talked a little bit about the East. Expectations for the West.
Oh, for me? I mean, I think the Nuggets will win it all, but I would say I'm very interested in this Lakers-Nuggets matchup because a lot of people were talking about how the Lakers should duck. Sorry. Yep. The Lakers should duck the Nuggets. And it made no sense at all to me because, first of all, you're going to have to play the Nuggets at some point. Mm-hmm. Second of all, the basketball gods look down on you, right, when you're ducking smoke. Third of all, a fully rested LeBron is going to be better than LeBron at the end, right?
Ooh, like, especially LeBron, a postseason LeBron?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. So I didn't understand all that ducking talk. And, you know, we saw they didn't duck at all. They just took out the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a really interesting series. AD's going to have a chance to redeem himself against Jokic. So I think they actually have a chance. But, I mean, gun to my head, I mean, I'm taking the Nuggets to win the West.
Interesting take. Because aren't they're the second seed currently.
Yeah, OKC got the first.
OKC. So I think I would attribute that to SGA.
Yeah, 100% SGA. You would have SGA over Tatum for the MVP, right? You're so biased.
I'm biased. But when looking at the stats, yes, I'll give it to
okay,
SGA.
Okay. For well, we it has to be SGA over Tatum because of this. First of all,
that man's averaging like 30 points.
Well, the numbers are better. Yeah. Not only that, he's number one in a tougher West, and Tatum's number one
in the East.
Yeah, in the East, which is not as tough. So, I would take SGA over Tatum, but I kind of led us to that conversation.
Speaking of East and West, and kind of like I was really excited for like the All Star format to go back to that East and West kind of.
We might see USA versus World. How do you feel about that?
That would be really interesting.
World would cook them.
Yes, and I think Americans are just like, oh, Team USA, and like me being an immigrant coming, I was just like, yo, a lot of these international players are beasts.
Yeah, I mean, the international players are NBA players now that they're going to be playing against, you know? So, I mean, the last five MVPs have been international players. So, yeah.
Speaking of All-Star, how did you feel about the Serena versus Steph?
It was dope. I was there in the building and I actually got this. So, I was peeking behind the curtain. They were actually warming up behind. That was pretty cool to see. I thought it was really dope. It was the best part of that All-Star day, right, that I was there.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. People hated the game, but I kind of enjoyed the game.
Did you enjoy about the game? Because I hated the game too.
So I think part of it is not to like brag, but like I had really nice seats, and I knew they weren't going to play hard.
Combo's
so I was
flexing
just
right now, y'all.
What?
Yeah, combo's flexing.
Yeah,
right
definitely
now,
flexing. But I would say like I just liked watching the best players in the world. It looked like they were getting a workout in, but I enjoyed it. Like I knew there wasn't going to be much defense, and I saw Dame get off, and I saw Tyrese hit deep threes, and I saw SGA throw it off the backboard to himself and dunk. Like I thought it was kind of fun, but I do understand people wanting to see more effort in these All-Star games.
Can you remember the last All-Star game that was just like actually felt like
the one with the
game?
I forgot what it was. The one with the Elam ending, the one where like they set a target score.
Oh, that was recent.
That was recent. And like then there was really good ones with like Steph Marbury and like Kobe. But I don't remember exactly what year it was. There's been some really good ones. When Jordan was playing, they always played pretty hard. And then I remember Pippen winning MVP in his red shoes. That's a vivid memory from my youth. But yeah, I mean, they need to do something because I understand why people are upset even though I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think basketball fans are really harsh. but they're just
you know, first of all, they're always complaining. Yeah. Like why can't always we just enjoy, why can't we just enjoy the game?
Always complaining.
You know,
especially them Celtics fans. I'm a Celtics fan and I love y'all, but damn, y'all are always complaining. I'm one of my good friends, Dart Adams. He's actually from Boston. He does a lot of media, like sports media stuff out there. He's always like, just stop reading the comments.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I can't help it. He's like, no, you're just wasting your time and energy on that. Just stop reading the comments.
The comments section in general, not to segue back to myself, but I will. Like, man, when I first started the show, there was like no hate. And now since things have grown, bro, I have so much hate being thrown my way. But I just think how interesting people are when it comes to how easily they talk trash to you on the internet, but I've never had negative feedback in person, ever. It's crazy.
Is it like people you actually know?
No.
Oh, okay.
So that's the thing. Like it started out with mostly people listening that I knew. But now since it's outside of that, it's like people say the craziest thing and they don't even know what they're talking about. Like, like they'll be like, yo, he doesn't hoop. I'm like, okay. Like they just say things that
People have the audacity online.
Yeah, but I think that shows like things are growing. I think it's a good sign, you know? Yeah.
Speaking of, because we were talking about Caitlin Clark earlier, and then there was like news like, Ice Cube wanted to offer her a big three contract. How do you feel about that? Wouldn't be the first woman to join the big three.
I mean, get your money, but I would have to say, like, realistically, it would be tough defensively for her against men, like when they just start posting her and stuff. Yeah. I think offensively she'd be okay at some deep threes, but from a basketball standpoint, I don't know how that would go. How do you think that would go?
I'm all for women empowerment, but we just have to come to realize we're just built differently from men.
What if Big Baby Davis posted her up?
Yo, I don't. She would just.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
It'd
be tough.
I don't think she would be able to drive the lane.
But I think it'd be cool. I mean, was it a real offer? Like, I don't know.
I thought it was.
That's dope. I mean, get your money then.
But I haven't heard any.
But like, I think it coincides with WNBA, so she can't do both. So obviously, she's going to pick the WNBA for her future.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. I thought it was a good move. I mean, it brings attention to the big three, right? Mm-hmm. Like him just offering that.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, Maria, what do you have going on? I see you're a social media maven, and that's actually the company name as well, right?
Okay, no. So, Digital Maven, let's correct that because it's beyond social media for me.
Okay.
I got my start essentially as just like a journalist on the music side, like a hip hop journalist.
Really?
I don't remember if you recall like 2010, kind of like when blogging became a thing.
Yeah.
In that era. And so I was in college and me and my college roommate were just like, oh, let's start a blog. And that really opened the door for me as a hip hop blogger and a hip hop journalist, music journalist. I got my first writing gig at Hip Hop DX. And that opened a lot of doors. And I got to network in the industry, going to different events. And one of my first clients was Ski, I don't know if you're familiar with Ski Beats, mm-hmm. produced. He produced Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt.
Oh, really?
A lot of Camp Lil projects. He was just a really major factor in 90s hip hop as far as production goes. So he was one of my first big client, and that kind of also opened the door for me as a publicist. And that's when I really started taking in more clients and kind of taking on national clients and really just building up my contacts and just my network essentially, and really kind of refining my skills in that. And I just kind of ran with that throughout the years. On the full-time side, outside of like my freelance work, I've worked at BET, worked a little bit at ESPN, different media companies, and just taking the knowledge I learned from all these places and putting it into my own.
That's dope.
And I really just decided this year to kind of go full steam on my agency and just offering like digital PR, marketing, content, social media, all these things. And then also marketing myself, because I feel like I do a lot.
You are a brand.
Yeah, I am a brand. And I just have to kind of like put myself out there. I do media. I kind of took a break from the media stuff. So I appreciate you kind of getting me out of my shell. Yeah.
That's dope.
So I really want to tap back into that. And I started writing a book maybe like 3 years ago, because I've done interviews in hip hop since 2010, and I would end all my interviews with the same question. So I kept all the answers that I've had.
What was that question?
if hip hop were a person, what would you say to her? And the influence, that's crazy. The influence from that was Common's song "I Used to Love Her," where, you know, it was, he personified hip hop as a woman, and that's what kind of inspired that question. And just throughout the years, I've been collecting the answer to that question from all types of artists, from Black Thought to Wyclef to Ski Beast, Method Man, all these people that I've interviewed, and I want to compile it into this book. So I started writing the outline to the book and kind of just put it aside, and it's like, it's time to bring that back out and really finish that. And then I also want to work on my book of poems. I do spoken word and poetry as well. So everyone's like, you do a lot, like, you need to decide. I was like, I don't want to limit myself or box myself in. I feel like in this digital era, like, it's okay to
100%
do a multitask.
Yeah, I think it's good to multitask, especially if the things that you're working on help each other, right? And it's in one direction. So I think that's really dope. How about obviously, you know, you're in social media and you're in brand building. What has been your evolution in working in those fields from the beginning till now?
Oh, wow. I started as like a social media intern for like a small marketing agency, like fresh out of college. And just like, back then you only had like a couple social media platforms. I was like, what, Facebook?
That was really the time to grow, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, MySpace was around. Was around back then. And just seeing the evolution of social media and really how you could utilize your platforms to brand yourself, to get yourself out there. Like, you see how just like, you know, the rise of all these influencers, like, now they're all like quote unquote celebrities, and it's just like the power of social media.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
It's crazy to think about it.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So give me three growth hacks for Instagram.
Oh, gosh. Definitely utilize Reels. I would say maybe post 1 to 2 times a week. You do not necessarily have to use trending sounds. You can. But I feel, for me, speaking personally, when I use just like original audio, that actually gets more impressions for me. And then sometimes I'll use a trending sound. I don't get as many views or likes. And interestingly enough, just because, you know, the algorithm is a little wonky at times on Instagram. So it's like my likes went down, but my engagement went up. Like, I'll have like 30, 40, 50 comments on one post and not as many likes compared to when I was like getting like hundreds and thousands of likes on a post, but like 5 comments. So social media is a weird thing. I feel like it's a blessing and a curse depending on how you use it and kind of capitalize off it. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Because I feel like, you know, you have your podcast. You're trying to get yourself out there. How do you feel about
it? I am out there, Maria. I'm not trying.
Okay, you are out there. My bad. Yes, we speak in the present. Well,
I post every day, at least one reel, maybe two. I don't know if that's too much, but I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of what you talk about is engineered to keep people on their app, because sometimes it's not even about how good the content is. They know if they give you like a lot of views one time and maybe a little bit the next, it's going to keep you on. It kind of gets them for you to play their game in a way. So right. I think a lot.
That's crazy to think.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people who created slot machines and things like that are creating these apps to keep them on the apps, because that's the whole point of it. So it's a really interesting era. I mean, these apps are engineered to keep people on their phones, from the creators to the people consuming. And I think it's really smart and important to have a good relationship with your smartphone.
Yes, because, dude, everywhere I go, everyone's like this.
It's not good.
It's not good at all. Like, I was at my niece's, like, quinceañera, I remember, and she literally had all her friends. They sat in a circle. It was like 10 of them. And they were all on their phones, talking to each other on their phones, not actually talking to each other in real life. And I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, I always tell, like, this new era, I call it these new kids. I sound like an old head. But these new kids really just, like, are so consumed with like the digital and social on their phones that they really forgot like human interaction.
100%.
And it's like an upside and a downside. Like, they're really smart with technology, right? The downside, their social skills and just interaction and just actually just being a human in society, they just lack some skills sometimes.
Yeah. You got to take the best from technology, but try not to be addicted to it at the same time, and take breaks and just work on having a smart relationship with your smartphone. And as I was telling you before, like, you will be better with content during the time you're on your phone if you take breaks away from your phone, you know?
That makes sense. I'm actually really going to take your advice too.
Yeah. For like, so for me, I was telling you before, like the first hour or two of the day, I don't look at my phone. For the last hour of the day, I don't look at my phone. I take long walks without my phone. Sometimes I'll just go hoop, even though you see me posting me hooping all the time on my story. Sometimes I'll just go hoop without my phone, you know, spend time with family without my phone. And I think it's really important and it makes me better when I'm actually am on my phone.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just for me, it's like, I don't know. It's just like it's weird to see a notification and you're just like so inclined to like, oh, I need to.
Well, you could take those off too.
This is
true. You're making excuses, Maria.
I am. Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe that's the thing. But yeah. It's just like, it's okay. I had to tell you, it's okay. You do not have to answer a text as soon as it comes in.
No way. Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm always.
And also then they're always expecting the reply right back. I let the text linger.
Yeah, so there's definitely things I need to, I think it's just like, working in the industry, working in social media and always being on kind of just like trickled into my personal life. And I really have to kind of like separate the two because I really need to learn how to log off.
Yes.
And have some time to myself where it's like, okay, I can go, like you said, go to the gym without my phone.
Imagine just bringing a piece of paper where you're working.
I was thinking of buying an old school iPod just so I could still have my music, but not have my phone.
Yeah, you should. Or get a cassette player.
Okay. Now you're really aging us because they're like, what's a cassette player?
Oh man. Thanks so much for hosting this for me.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you being in, you know, just letting me kind of interview you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you have a lot of experience. So it's great to have a professional such as yourself here interviewing me and having a conversation about basketball. Where can we find you on social media and everywhere else?
Definitely Instagram at maria.myrain. That's MYRAINE. Also, my business page, Maven by Maria. You can find me on there. That's on Instagram. And then just my website, mavenbymaria.com. If you need digital services, that's PR, social media, content, marketing. I am your girl.
Great stuff, Maria. Definitely. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Peace.